Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, what an interesting day of football. A very interesting day in football indeed, Jose. And we're going to get the biggest story in football had nothing to do with being on the field today.
Ooh.
You intrigued? I am.
I'm definitely intrigued now. Let's start off the show.
Let's do it. No, really, Jose, you really want to do this?
I think so.
All right, let's do it. All right, Real Sports Talk Radio live on the air. Jose Padilla, Randy Zelia, live every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio, produced by MaxSportsPage.com, 760-283-0846. You can find us on Facebook, Real Sports Talk Radio. And we're on Twitter, AngryJose15, Randy BS, Arzelia BSP. Jose, my friend, happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you too, Randy. What's going on?
Not much. So far today, I have posted a 3-0 record. And it looks like it's going to be 5-0. And then if Baltimore goes, then it's I can have my first perfect week. But that's not even the top story today. I don't think me being the top story on anything shouldn't be anything to do with that at all.
Lord knows that's true. So what's this top story? Because you got me intrigued. I've been watching football all day, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it actually has to do with a local team here. It has to do with the New York Football Jets, but it has nothing to do with what they were doing on the field. You and I discussed very briefly during the week what happened this past week with anonymous sources saying this and that. Tebow's this and Tebow's that. And anonymous players, 12 players, and people in the organization are sitting there making these comments. You and I really have to touch on this because I think you and I also have a different perspective than pretty much every perspective that has come out, especially since we're in that media market. I'm going to let you go first before I go because when I go, there's not going to be any stopping me. So what was your take on this whole anonymous sources with the Jets players coming out against Tim Tebow, and what was your take on all this?
You know, the first thing that struck me is that why was this even brought up? Because it's not like Tebow has done anything this year to merit any conversation. So the fact that this had to be dredged up by some guy from the Daily News, I believe, just goes to show you that really it's just the media again trying to push something that really isn't there. And then because someone gave an honest opinion, although cowardly not putting their name to it, it became a story. Listen, we all know that the Jets haven't used Tebow at all this year, so why is this a big deal? The guy is obviously not a practice player. We all know this. We know this from last year with Denver. The guy doesn't play well in practice. He's the kind of player that he goes out there and he does what he does. He's one of those guys that just does it in the moment, not practice-wise. So I don't know why this is a big shock to anyone. I don't know why it was a big deal to anyone. Me personally, I don't even care if people do anonymous quotes or whatever, because honestly, if you didn't get anonymous quotes, you would never get any quotes from anybody. So to me, it's all a big ado of nothing, personally. You know, just another ploy by the media to try to get something that really should have not even been a big deal.
Well, and I respect your opinion. I respect you. And so I know I give you a hard time a lot, both on this show, both on and off air, with some of your opinions. But I couldn't disagree with you more. I think this is a huge deal. When you have people that are working inside your organization, you have players on the field who have to work with him every single day. If you're Tim Tebow, first off, here's Tim Tebow, whether you like him or not as a player or as a person or his religious beliefs or anything else like that, I'm sorry, you have to respect what he did last year. You can say what you want about the Denver Bronco defense, and they, you know, they kept them in all the games, but Tebow still played that fourth quarter and still won those games for them. He still was the starting quarterback last season for the Denver Broncos that helped get that team that was 1-4 into the playoffs. But that was the past, that was last year. What does it say about an organization when you have multiple players won't put their name on it? There was only one player that put their name on it, but not just the players, people within the organization speaking out, putting the blame on this season on somebody who hasn't barely touched the field this year.
Well, that's the only issue I have with this.
Well, you got to let me finish my thought on this. This is where it gets a little more, because it's a little bit more angry on my part. There is a reason why they were 3-6. It's because they just weren't that good. They didn't have a lot of talent. But for those guys to not take accountability on why the season has spiraled out of control the way it has, and I don't even look at today's win that they had as a really good win, because they beat a very, 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 very bad St. Louis team. So that's why I just, you know, on the show preview for today, I made sure I made the point saying today's win doesn't matter for the Jets. You have to go out there and win. You, not just today, but you need to go out there and win the rest of the season. This is a disaster for the New York Jets organization. I'm downplaying it right now. They are in serious trouble, and I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about off the field. These are not the type of headlines you want to get. Across the side there, the Giants, who they share the building with, you know, they've had their ups and downs this season, but they're mostly ups. They're a professional organization. They do the right things. The Jets don't. The Jets are about trying to steal the back page. The Giants win the Super Bowl back in 2007-2008. What do the Jets do? They go out and get Brett Favre to steal the back page. They won the Super Bowl last year. What do they do this year? They go out and grab Tim Tebow. I think it's disgusting. I think it's a waste of everybody's time and energy. And Rex Ryan needs to have a better job, a better handle on his players, so we don't have anonymous quotes going out.
I agree with you in that aspect, but this is the bottom line. Rex Ryan didn't want Tim Tebow. This has become blatantly obvious. This was not a football management decision. This was an ownership decision. They wanted Tebow here. So you can't start complaining about Tebow, though. Look, and I'll be the first to tell you, I love Tebow. I think the guy is wasted here. But, you know, I'm not going to get crazed about people making anonymous, putting out anonymous information out there that they just don't think he's a great player. Because obviously, it shouldn't even be brought up unless someone in, you know, whoever's asking the question is bringing it up. Why is it being brought up at this point? Tebow has done nothing this year to merit any kind of thought whatsoever. He's been wasted there. So the only issue is that you got people cowardly taking shots at a guy that has nothing to do with how the team is doing. Nothing whatsoever. I think that stuff gets a little overblown when it comes to, like, what's going on in the locker room and all that. But I will say this, though, again. I think it's clearly obvious now that this was not a Rex Ryan decision or a Mike Tannenbaum decision. This was a Woody Johnson decision. And Woody Johnson has to take the blame on this situation.
Over under right now, if you had to give a percentage, 1% to 100%. Percentage that Tebow is a Jet next year.
Are they going to release him? Are they going to trade him?
When opening day starts, opening day next year, Tim Tebow is wearing green and white. What is the opening percentage on that?
I would say it's 50-50 right now. I would honestly say it's 50-50. Because I don't think they want to just release him, but there's no one you can trade him to. No one wants
him. Right. I think at this point, I think 75%, I'm going higher. I'm going 75% chance that he's not a Jet next year. I think at this point they're going to have to move him. You're going to have to find a way to do it. You've devalued him so much. He is now no longer a viable option to you, to a point where you can't even get that fourth round pick back for him. So you now have to think about.
I would say this though. at the end of the day, though, this all comes down to Woody Johnson. And if Woody Johnson wants him there, then so be it. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to play at some point this year if it becomes blatantly obvious that the Jets are not going to be in the playoff hunt. I can tell you that much.
Oh, no, that's a very obvious it's a very obvious situation there. And here's where also where I have a problem. This story could have been downplayed and shut down if Rex Ryan wanted it to be. I listened to the press conference, courtesy to our friends over at 98.7 ESPN Radio New York. I listened to the press conference, and Rex Ryan could have just said, we don't want to address this issue. It's an in-house issue. We'll deal with it. And that was it. But Rex Ryan went on.
You know they can't get away with that. They can't do that. They can't say, you know, that's not going to fly. It's a no-win situation. If you don't address it, then you're basically admitting you have no control. At least if you address it, you can tell people, like, hey, you know what? We took care of it. It's done and over. But if you say you're making no comment on it, you're basically admitting to everyone that you've lost complete control.
Well, he has lost complete control.
Well, no, but at least by him stating something, that there is still at least a semblance of some control. But listen, again, Rex Ryan's whole season was basically detonated by Woody Johnson needing to sell PSLs. I mean, this is blatant, obvious truth right now. I was not sure if that was the case at first. I really thought this was just some mad scientist notion with Tony Sperano and Rex Ryan, when really there was nothing to this. It was all smoke and mirrors. Woody Johnson basically wanted Tebow here. They didn't use him. Now we know why they didn't use him, because they didn't want him. And now it's destroyed the whole season, essentially.
It's a mess. I'm very interested to see where it's going to go from here. I have some opinions on where it's probably going to go. It's probably not going to be anywhere good for the Jets. But, we can jump back into it a little bit later. We have Kenny Anderson at 7:30 tonight. Talk a little NBA, talk a little bit about the New York Knicks and how their play is. And I have to eat a little bit of crow tonight from Jose, which I'm not looking forward to.
I'm not going to give you crow, by the way. I'm just going to we'll talk about this later, but I'm not going to.
You'll hear my opinion before or after Kenny. But let's talk about what's been going on in the field today. Currently in the fourth quarter, New Orleans spanking the Oakland Raiders. This should be no surprise. About 4 weeks ago, this Oakland probably would have had a shot, but it's 38-17, 2 minutes to go in the fourth. It's not much of a game. The Broncos, who you and I both picked over San Diego, 27-16, the wheels have really come off. This is North Turner's swan song with the Chargers. There's no way they're bringing him back this upcoming year. New England, obviously, 52-24. New England's just a more seasoned team. Andrew Luck was shown why he's a rookie this year. Some little mistakes here and there that ended up costing them. Jose, Atlanta, now officially 10-1. Comeback win at home against Arizona, 23-19. Atlanta is starting to show cracks in the armor. They weren't that strong at the start, but now they're starting to show cracks in the armor.
I don't even think that you can call them cracks. I think they're more like sinkholes at this point. I mean, listen, I give him a lot of credit. Matt Ryan threw 5 interceptions and they still won his game. So you give him credit, but no one really believes in Atlanta anyway. So I'm gonna be very interested to see who their first round matchup is gonna be in the playoffs.
Well, they're gonna have the first round bye, which I think is going to hurt them anyway, because I think that first round bye hurts everybody. I don't know if you got to see the end of the Dallas-Cleveland game.
I saw most of it. I actually missed the game-winning field goal, but I actually saw most of what transpired. By the way, I don't care whether I don't remember who was calling the game. It was Dan Dierdorf or Dan Fouts. I don't know what they're looking at, but some of these calls on the Brown secondary were dreadful. And speaking of which, Miles Austin, I mean, that was a fumble. Especially after a play I saw in a later game, I believe it was the Oakland game, which I think they turned it around, actually. But still, I mean, some of the calls in that game were dreadful.
Yeah, they were. And I fell for Ogletree because he got nailed pretty hard. But everything else, I got to tell you, Dallas is a bad team. They're not a fine. They're a bad team. They're a tough team that's underachieving, like as always. But
There's only one team worse than them when it comes to that. It's Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Philadelphia. We'll hit on them in a minute. Here's what I got out of the Dallas win. The Giants struggled with Cleveland at the beginning, but they put distance between them by the second quarter. Dallas underestimated Cleveland. Cleveland goes out and plays hard every single week. They have a lot of young guys, and they have a good future ahead of them. But you're Dallas, there's very little gain out of today's win. Yeah, you're 5-5, and the Giants are 6-4. But I'll tell you something. The Cowboys have a fairly easy schedule the rest of the way. Even if the Cowboys make the playoffs and win the NFC East, they're no more than just the first round, and then they're done. Because that's not a good football team. That's not a good football team at all.
I agree wholeheartedly on that.
The Green Bay Detroit game, and this is something that you and I have been arguing about the Aaron Rodgers elite conversation, and Sarah was on last week, and we had the same. And the last couple of times Sarah was on, we were getting into this conversation about Aaron Rodgers, and they won again today, 24-20. They snuck by Detroit. Detroit was really pushing them, which was always good to see. They feel that Aaron Rodgers says their focus is back, and they feel better now than they did since they won the Super Bowl, and this and that. And my attitude is, you don't have a running game, and you don't have defense. So you basically, the whole season relies on your arm. I don't like their chances. I don't think this is going to be Green Bay. I don't think this is going to be Green Bay season, especially now that New Orleans is surging. It's going to be interesting to see what the Giants do a week after the bye week. This upcoming week, they have the Green Bay Packers next. I really do think right now the NFC East, the NFC as a whole is up in the air. You really don't know who's going to come out of it because you do have a lot of good teams. You have the Packers, the Saints, the Giants, the 49ers, the Atlanta Falcons. I almost said the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay can sneak out there and possibly make some noise. You don't know.
But I will say this.
Wide open. It's wide open.
It's definitely wide open, but I will say this. This is the difference, as far as I'm concerned, between Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning and all the other quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a particularly great game, and they still won. This is the kind of game that when we're watching the Giants play, if Eli has this kind of game, you're not so sure if that game's going to become, what's going to become of it. And this is why I feel, even though Eli Manning has proven his stock in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, to me this is what makes Aaron Rodgers elite. Because even when he's not necessarily playing well, and we don't even know because we didn't really get to see this game on area, but the stats, they're playing is simple, but he got the job done, and that's the difference in my opinion. If Matt Stafford, probably had better number, better stats, numbers wise, but again, they lost his game. So that to me, that's the difference between being a good quarterback, a great quarterback, and an elite quarterback. So.
Well, Aaron Rodgers and the company win. They're off on Thanksgiving for the first time in 2 years. And it's interesting to see with Detroit. Their guys are having just as good of a year as they did last year. And I'm talking about Megatron, and I'm talking about Stafford. Their numbers are the same, but it's not winning, and that's what it comes down to. Cincinnati versus Kansas City. I was actually more surprised that you picked this game for me to go with.
I didn't want to double up on a game you gave me, because I have what they call onions. So I decided I had to pick from a weak bunch. So by the way, you're a fraud on that aspect, picking all three games before we even had a chance to talk about it. So you watch next week. I'm going to smack you, but anyway.
we weren't able to go live this week. And,
if that's
what were we going to do? Send six different emails to each other? I just felt that would have been a waste of time.
I just figured maybe we would have just picked six games and went along with that. But that's all right. I'll give it to you. I know what you're doing. You're trying to build up your lead. That's okay. I smell what you're cooking.
That's
You know what you're not cooking, though? Onions. You have no onions there, my friend.
Well, the Cincinnati-Kansas City game was not much to talk about. Kansas City is a joke. I think right now Glen Rock High School can beat them in a football game.
Don't bring up stuff like that. You know it's not true.
If you want to join in the conversation, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. Find us on Twitter as well. We're going to join the Twitter conversation in a few minutes about what's going on out there in Twitter land, as we like to call them. The Jet game versus St. Louis, again, I don't put so much stock in that win. When you have Jeff Fisher going for it on fourth downs in the first quarter, and you have punts getting blocked and going for two when the game's totally out of reach, it's not worth it. You know, like,
yeah,
why waste our time? The Philadelphia Washington game, I'm not surprised at the outcome, 31-6. I am surprised on how bad Philly is officially looking. This is the end of Andy Reid. This is the end of Michael Vick. I feel bad because I think Andy Reid deserves better, especially after the year that he had, losing your son and possibly losing your job.
Yeah, well, I do want to bring up one thing though. I mean, again, another great performance by Robert Griffin this week. 14 of 15, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. The guy's gonna be a star. I mean, they're next year when they can put some more pieces around them, they're gonna be phenomenal.
I agree with you. I will go with that. I'm a firm believer that, remember what I told you guys at the beginning of the season. And I think we're pretty much right on track. This is going to be the most exciting 6-10 team in football. And they are. Robert Griffin III makes you want to watch the game because you don't know what he's going to do next. I think he's going to be the best 6-10 team. I think they need to upgrade in almost every position on the offensive end. I think they need a better running back. I think they need some better receivers. I personally would like to see Griffin be a little bit more of a pocket thrower, but that's going to take time. And I just hope
He is a pocket thrower. They don't throw the ball that much. You know, look, they ran the ball 34 times. I mean, so he's not running. You know, he ran 12 times today, but by the way, their running committee actually wants to pimp slap you again. They're actually pretty good. Alfred Morris, good game today. You know, they're fine there. They need to work on their defense, but Griffin is a pocket passer. They just don't throw the ball that much yet. They don't have the receivers to do what, you know, Griffin is capable of doing. So I'm just gonna take some solidarity there.
Well, the rookie quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, no touchdown pass, 204 yards throwing. Tough day. Santana Moss caught for one touchdown, had 61 yards. Robert Griffin III was their leading rusher with 84 yards, and he threw four touchdown passes for 200 yards. And, you know, for the Eagles, LeSean McCoy was their leading rusher and their leading receiver. Again, I feel for Andy Reid. I'm not an Eagles fan. I really don't like the Eagles that much at all, but I feel for Andy Reid. This has been a really tough year, and it's a shame he's going to lose his job over it. One other game I want to really quickly hit on, the other two games, like we just decided, a Buffalo-Miami game from Thursday night. And then we had Jacksonville and Houston went in overtime. There's a total of 3 overtime games today. We touched on Cleveland and Dallas. Don't want to spend so much time on Houston and Jacksonville. Jacksonville's an awful team. They really pushed Houston today. And they combined 80 points. on the board. So it was a fun game. But what do you think about Tampa Bay and what Greg Schiano's doing down there with that group? With Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson and Gonzalez, they're all playing very well.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the ownership was doing down there because I think they gave up on Raheem Morris too much. So there had to be something going on there that we're not aware of, because I find it hard to believe that Greg Schiano, who was a good college coach but not anything special, could take this team that basically went 4-12, lost like their last 10 games in a row, and now all of a sudden they're 6-4. I'm not buying this. So there had to be something going on there that we're not aware of. But look, Josh Freeman is a good quarterback. He's only going to get better. They got a great running back there, the kid out of Boise, Doug Martin. And, you know, they're just playing tough. They're playing tough. But I don't believe that Greg Schiano just brought toughness to this team and now they're better. I'm not buying that either. So I'm curious as to how they're going to finish this season. But hey, look, Greg Schiano's done a great job. You know, as much as I don't like him, he's done a good job, and I have to give him kudos on that.
Yeah, right now, just to give you some quick updated standing here, is the Giants 6-4, Dallas 5-5, Washington 4-6, Philly 3-7. I was wrong at the beginning of the year. I said Philly was going to be pushing the Giants in the beginning of the, you know, for the division. I sit here flabbergasted at what's going on with them. Chicago and Green Bay, if we would have told you the way Green Bay started the season that they were going to be 7-3 after being 1-2 and just the way they were playing, it was pretty bad. They're bounced back. Minnesota's 6-4, and Detroit's 4-6. Atlanta's 9-1. Tampa Bay now 6-4. I'm telling you, it's going to be a log jam to try and get in there for those wild card spots. I think it's going to go out to the final week. Giants better be careful. The Giants really better be careful. And then look, you know, the NFC West, which has been awful for a long time. You have San Francisco 6-2, Seattle 6-4. And Arizona 4-6. And I think Arizona's pretty much dead. You can stick a fork in them. I think they're done.
Yeah.
St. Louis is 3-6-1.
And I have to tell you, that tie with San Francisco and St. Louis last week, I thought it would hurt San Francisco. Depending on what happens, it actually might help San Francisco now, depending on what goes on with their game later on.
Well, I agree with you. Then over in the AFC East, Patriots 6-3, Jets 4-6. Buffalo and Miami are both 4-6. Baltimore 7-2. Pittsburgh 6-3. They play tonight. Cincinnati 5-5. Cleveland 2-8. Houston 9-1. Indy 6-4 after the game tonight or today. Tennessee 4-6. Jacksonville 1-9. They're god awful. Denver 6 and now will be, is that game go final? I think that game just went final, right? The
I believe it did, but even if it didn't, it's pretty much done.
Okay, so they're 7-3. San Diego's 4-6. Oakland's 3-8. Oh no, sorry, 3-7. And Kansas City's 1-9. The AFC, if you know, if you were the Giants, you'd probably be doing very well in the AFC. You'd probably be fighting right in the end. The Giants are gonna have a hard time once they get back and get rolling. It's gonna be, you know, the simple fact is they have to come back and play error-free football. The pass rush has to get back in there, and Eli has to. Maybe this was the best thing for Eli. Remember, the Giants had a shorter offseason than everybody because not only that, you know, they got done playing the Super Bowl in the January, but they also had all the responsibilities of being the Super Bowl champions off the field. Because when you come to toast to the talent, it wears you down, so you have a little less time than everybody else.
Yeah, well, all I know is if you're a Giant fan right now, you better hope that minimum they split with Green Bay and New Orleans. You got to hope for a split there because if you don't get a split, it's going to get real, real dicey for them. So let's see what happens. But this season can still be saved. You know, right now, if you're the Giants, you think division. You're not even thinking wild card. You're just thinking division at this point. But you got to, at bare minimum, split between the Green Bay and the Saints game.
Okay, well, let's, how about this? We're going to have Kenny Anderson on in about 3 minutes. Really quick before we switch over to basketball, I'm going to give you the remaining Giants schedule. You tell me win or loss, okay?
Okay.
Okay, home for Green Bay.
I'm going to give them the win on that because they're home.
At Washington.
I'm going to say loss now.
Okay, home for New Orleans.
I'm going to say loss.
At Atlanta.
I'm actually going to say win on that one. I think they can pull that one out.
At Baltimore.
I'm going to say win because Ravens defense is not as good as it was in the beginning of the year.
Home for Philly.
If that game means something, they'll lose it. If it doesn't mean anything, they'll win it.
Okay, and now really quickly, let's go over Dallas's remaining schedule for the division.
Okay,
give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. Home for Washington.
Loss.
Home for Philly.
They'll win that game.
At Cincinnati.
That's a loss.
Home for Pittsburgh.
That's Ooh, if Big Ben is back, that's a loss. If he's not back, that's a win.
Home for New Orleans.
That's a loss.
And at Washington.
I'm going to say the same thing I said with the Giants. If that game means something, they'll lose it. If it doesn't mean anything, they'll win it.
Okay, that's fair. That's very fair. Back Sports Page Radio, Real Sports Talk Radio. You're on the air with Randy and Jose. How can I help you? Oh, I'm sorry, Jose, what was that?
I was going to say, what was their record at that point then?
Right now they're 5-5, and you said the home game against Washington they'll win, correct?
The home game with Dallas, I said they would win, yeah.
Yeah. You said they'll beat Philly at home?
I said they would beat Philly at home. Actually, I said they would lose the game to Washington. Dallas would lose the game to Washington.
You said they'll beat Cincinnati but lose to Pittsburgh if Ben is playing.
No, actually, I think they'll lose to Cincinnati too. And I think they'll beat Pittsburgh if Ben is not playing. If he is playing, I think they'll lose that game.
So you're saying they're going to go 2-4 the rest of the way?
So okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay,
that's them.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on the air with Jose and Randy.
Yeah, just
like your daughter's partner. I thought it was a box.
Oh, well, this is
$100 right here, yeah. Oh, well. So with that being said, Jose, I do believe that the Cowboys are going to go 2-4. I believe that, too. I think that's a fair assessment. I do believe that the Bengals and the Steelers are the team that they really, really have to watch out for. And it's just pretty much, I have no faith in the Cowboys. Do you?
No, I don't. I just don't. It's basically, they're just a little bit better than Philadelphia at this point.
Well, my attitude towards them has been just, you know, they have to not play like garbage.
It's easier said than done. Much easier said than done. But we'll see what happens. You know, we've seen this before with Dallas. They don't come through. This Philadelphia thing has been remarkable. They've spent so much money, and now they just can't do it, man. They just can't.
Well, I think at this point, you can't do anything about that aspect of it. I think that the Cowboys are they can be a very dangerous team when they want to. The Giants are have always been a very, very good team, and you can't. That whole division has been very, very, very good, and you can't sleep on any team in that division. Let's start switching gears into the NBA as we await Kenny Anderson. Kenny's going to join us in a few minutes. So the New York Knicks. The NBA season is a marathon. It's not a short race. It's not a 40. It's not a 40-meter dash. They're starting off hot. They're playing very, very well. They still have some injuries. Amon Shumpert, Amari Stoudemire, not with the team. You know, they're still not ready to go healthy. There's one thing that I have not anticipated. There's one thing I have not anticipated, and that's Carmelo Anthony playing the way he has. Unselfish, sharing the ball, defense first. That's not the Carmelo Anthony we've been seeing for the last 2 years. I think you can agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been watching
Carmelo
a little longer than you, but...
Yeah, I know you have. I know you have. You've been watching him his whole career. You know, I got to see him when he was in Denver. I got to see him in spots, and now, you know, being able to see him and cover him, trying to get him, you know, trying to understand what's been going on with Carmelo Anthony has been something that's been very troubling to me, because I felt like at one point he was trying to, what's the right word? I felt like he was sort of like he was entitled. He felt that he was entitled to be a winner. Right now, let's join have our good friend Kenny Anderson join the show. Kenny, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Okay. The one and only Kenny Anderson. Kenny, you're on with Jose Padilla, Randy Zelia. We're live right now on Back Sports Page Radio. How's everything down in Florida, my friend?
Everything is great. Everything is great. It's nice weather. I'm a little bothered, you know, with the Sandy hurricane and, you know, everybody that know me, you know, I'm from New York, so my father survived, my family survived, but all the people up there is just, you know, is suffering, you know, from everything, so it's tough.
Well, you know, we're very happy that everybody was able to get healthy. You know, the rebuilding process up here is slow, and we send all of our wishes out to the families who are struggling right now. Like you said, you have family up here. It was a very, very big disaster situation, and, you know, the rough part is over, and now comes the recovery, and I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, it's definitely the most recoverable. Most people don't have no money. Economics is that's really hard, but it's just tough. You know, I'm just blessed. You know, my family and everybody is healthy. No one died. No one, you know, lost anything. So I am blessed. But for all the other people that didn't make it, it's just tough. It's just a bad thing.
Well, Kenny, we're going to transition into the NBA, something obviously you know a lot about. And I want to start with the New York Knicks. And they're playing very, very well. I originally picked them to be in the lower level of the Eastern Conference this year. But if Carmelo Anthony plays unselfishly in the way he's been playing so far this season, the Knicks really can make a lot of noise.
Well, the Knicks, I got them right now. I was surprised, but I got them to probably compete with the Heat to win the East. I said it. If you follow me on Twitter, _1. _1. You know, these guys, you know, Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, some, you know, those guys come in and change the culture of the team defensively-wise. And then they bring in Raymond Felton, who is playing with a chip on his shoulder, who had a bad time in Portland, who I always thought was a very good, solid point guard. Is having a great year right now. And those guys are really competing. Then you got J.R. Smith coming off the bench. They for real. The New York Knicks are for real.
What about the former New Jersey Nets, and now the Brooklyn Nets? What are your feelings on them? Do you think that they made all the right moves and have the pieces in place to make a run, a strong playoff run this year?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets definitely could make it. It was great signing Deron Williams being face of the program. Then they got Gerald Wallace, Brooke Lopez, Brooks. They have the talent on that team. On paper, they should be like the third, fourth best team in the East. And I just think they're going to be up there when down in the stretch. They're definitely going to be one of the top teams in the East, definitely with Deron Williams. But I still think they really don't know how to play. Are they going to play big, or are they going to play on the perimeter with Deron and Joe Johnson, who's a great – they have one of the best perimeter backcourts in the league.
I agree. Jose Padilla.
Hey, Kenny, if I could transition back to the Knicks real fast, let me ask you this now. With the Knicks going off to that 7-1 start, they've done this without Amari Stoudemire and Iman Shumpert, two of their more important players on the team from last year and going forward. Where do you see them coming when they do come back from injury? How do you see them fitting into the rotation? And, you know, do you see either them coming back to the starting lineup right away or maybe strictly off the bench?
this is the problem I have, and I'm worried because I'm a metropolitan guy. I played with the Nets and moved over to Brooklyn, and I still have love for the Knicks because I'm from New York, and they're doing so well with Melo. You know, I don't know. You know, Stoudemire have to accept to come off the bench. I don't know if they're willing. He's willing to do that because he makes a lot of money. The coaching staff, the organization are going to have to make a decision what's best for their team. They are just playing so well right now. But Mike Woodson doing a very good job defensively. So I'm curious to see what happens when when he comes back to play. I'm really interested to see, you know, what decisions they make, you know, as far as the team.
Kenny, you're also very familiar with Boston. What did you think about the transition, about losing Ray Allen and the pieces that they've brought in? I have the Celtics very high on my list this year to go far in the Eastern Conference. I like the moves they made. They've added some solid role players, and they've added some good scoring. How do you rank the Celtics in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, they're right there, 3-4-5, right there, 3-4 team in the best in the East. But with losing Ray Allen, is one of the best shooters that ever did it. But also, that chemistry, they lost it. So they got to, like, work out with Courtney Lee, Jason Terry, Jeff Green coming back. So it's going to take some time, not only offensively, but defensively, these guys, you know, to get within the Doc Rhythm system. So, you know, it's going to take some time. But I just really don't know. I really believe everything goes through Miami Heat. I just think they're the champs. They have everything with Ray Allen going to the East, Rashawn Lewis. They lost some defensive presence, but offensively they got powerful.
How do you feel about the Heat with some of the moves they made this offseason? I wasn't impressed with the fact that they didn't bulk up underneath in the center position and the power forward position where they didn't add a lot of depth. Do you think that might hurt them in the long run?
Yeah, but who's, like, it's going to hurt them, but who's big? What, in the East, what big, Roy Hubert, the Indiana Pacers, I think they lost out not having Granger. He's not playing right now with injuries. There's no big guys in the East. So I think any team to have a big guy that's a big presence offensively that's going to be presented to the Heat. I don't think the Heat going to have any problem coming out of the East, you know, with Rose being injured and not being able to play full season. I think the Heat is going to come out of the East real easy.
You know, Kenny, after the news broke last week about what happened with Phil Jackson and Mike D'Antoni, I texted you immediately, and I asked you, you know, what you thought. We didn't get into a conversation about it. What were your feelings about what happened with Phil Jackson and Mike D'Antoni and the whole situation over there?
I don't know. I just thought that the Lakers should have brought Phil Jackson back, but, hey, they didn't. So they got Mike D'Antoni, and I don't know. His system is great for winning games, but you know you're not getting the same Steve Nash that was with you in Phoenix, and you know Kobe's a little older. Dwight Howard is fighting a back injury. I don't know if that system is gonna totally work for the Lakers. And then also, he's not a big defensive coach, so I really don't know. I just really still think Oklahoma City and the Spurs, and the Clippers, no, but later for all that, the Clippers are, like, big time, you know, with Chris Paul, Andre Jordan playing well underneath, so Jamal Crawford, then they bench it so deep. You got Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, then you got Bledsoe playing well.
You're still Grant Hill.
Well, he haven't played yet, but he's still a veteran.
Hasn't played yet.
And his IQ is real high. and he's very one. If he's really healthy, I think they'll do a great job. Clippers is like one of my top teams coming out of the West.
Kenny, can you tell us what's been going on with you lately? You know what you've been up to as far as keeping involved with the league. Because I remember when I saw you a couple weeks ago, you said that you're involved with the Miami media down there.
Yeah, I'm working with hopefully I'll be working with 560 WQAM again with the Heat. You know, talking about myself and my high school coach at Posnack Jewish Day School, and I'm just doing that and working a little bit more with the league. And I'm just trying to stay involved, stay relevant, and I love the game. I'm still a big fan of the NBA. It's so big, man. The NBA is so exciting right now with all the young players, and real surprising team. That's what's really going on. Memphis Grizzlies. I watched them the other night. They're awesome with Rudy Gay. He's healthy again, and then they have the inside outside with Marc Gasol and Randolph. You know, it's just they just got a great team.
You know, Kenny, you just stole my thunder because I was about to ask you about the Clippers and the Grizzlies. Like, do you think either one of them can make a real big run in the offseason, in the playoffs, if they actually make it that far?
Yes, they can. I just worry about the Memphis Grizzlies with Conley. He's doing a great job. But I just worry about him really taking them over the top. Mike Conley, he's made some improvements. But I just think with Z-Bo and Marc Gasol, they just got to, like, in the playoffs, everything slow down. Those guys, it's to go inside, outside. And they got Jay, they got Devo, they got Marc Gasol, they got Allen, who's playing, like, he's like one of the top defensive players in the league. He's just all, that's my dark horse. They might come out of the West.
How do you feel about some of the younger teams in the league, like the New Orleans Hornets, the Golden State Warriors? When you start stocking up on younger talent, how long does it usually take to figure out whether it's the project is going to work or tear it down to start over? At what point do general managers and teams start looking at it like that, in that perspective?
Well, you got like 2-3 years. There ain't no way you could, New Orleans got a great core of young players, Anthony Davis, Austin Rivers. You got to give those guys time to really blossom. You know what I mean? So the lead, it just takes time. You just can't get thrown in. Some of those guys is 1 year's in, 1 year's out, about college and high school. So it just takes time. You got to be patient.
Hey, Kenny, one more for me. You're a great college point guard, obviously. You came from Georgia Tech, big-time point guard program over there. Do you see anyone right now, like who's the guy in college right now that is possibly destined for greatness, as far as point guards go?
Right now, I really haven't done my, I haven't really done my, I will do it this week to really get down into college and really, understand the college game and see what's going on. I haven't really watched the college game as much, but there's a lot of college guards, a lot of young guys that's anxious to play in the NBA. It just takes time. You just got to wait and see. I haven't really been my...
Okay, what about the guys in the NBA, like the younger point guards out there that are right now? Who's the guy that's standing out to you that may not be getting, a lot of mention, but, you see and you're like...
Brandon Jennings is an all-star. He's about to come into his own right now. He's awesome. Milwaukee Bucks is doing well. That's the one guy that he should get his just due. He's awesome right now. And he's playing well. And the team is winning, so they should start looking at him as definitely an all-star candidate.
Okay, I gotta also throw two questions from my part back to you. When you were playing, we all understand the free agency game. LeBron went to Miami 2 seasons ago, and it devastated the Cleveland faithful, the Cavaliers fans. When a franchise loses a player like that, just like the way the Nets lost you and Derek. You know, you guys got traded away, but you guys pretty much made it known that you guys didn't want to be there anymore. In that situation, how long does it take for a team to really recover from a loss like that?
I don't know, 5 to 10 years, but in Cleveland State, you know, I forgot to tell you, Kyrie Irving is a special player. He's awesome. So he's right there. They just got to build around him. He's one of the top point guards in the league right now, and he will be tough voting for the All-Star voting this year. He's awesome.
Yeah, he might be one of the best up-and-coming point guards in the game right now. They have to get a little bit more talent on that roster for him, but I think they're going to be in good shape. And we had Mike Fratello on 2 weeks ago, and we briefly talked to Mike about his involvement in being around Jersey, and he still says that the one team that wishes he could have seen had a few more years together was the team of you, Derek, and Drazen Petrovic. You played with Drazen. We're doing a huge feature on him because we were 20 years. This year will be 20. This upcoming season will be 20 years of his last season in the NBA. Can you go over a little bit on what kind of player he was and his practice ethic?
Oh, Drazen Petrovic, like, he taught me that, like, my work ethic, just how to, like, I used to see him coming to practice, like, 2-3 hours before. He'd be drenched with sweat, and then he would, like, leave after practice. He would stay another 2-3 hours. Like, I really thought, like, even in the tough era of our era we was in with the Michael Jordan era with the Chicago Bulls and then the Cleveland Cavaliers with Mark Price, Brad Doherty, I thought we could still compete. We had our team together, but, you know, he died in a car crash, and it, like, really hurt the organization. But Drazen Petrovic was one of the best two guards that ever played the game. And he's definitely – I know they got, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Kukoc, you know, from overseas, but, you know, Drazen Petrovic is one of the best European players that ever came over to play in the NBA.
Well, Kenny, you know, we really appreciate you coming on, and I got to ask you, we would like to keep having you on. If that's okay with you, maybe we can work something out where you get to come on a consistent basis. I think you know the game. You're great. We'd love to have you on. You know, if it's okay with you.
Whatever. Just call me. Let me know, man. Love y'all, and thanks for having me on. It's a blessing, and NBA is so big right now. I think, you know, everybody know that David Stern is stepping down, and he's, like, the best commissioner, and I believe best commissioner that in any sport, football, basketball, football, soccer, whatever. He's the best commissioner that did it. He made NBA basketball so big, and all these young talents that got blowing up. It's awesome.
Kenny, thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll definitely talk to you in the next few weeks.
All right, my man. Thank you.
Take care, Kenny.
The one and only Kenny Anderson, former New Jersey Net, former Boston Celtics, Charlotte Hornet, Portland Trailblazers. He's been around. He knows the game. You know, it's funny. We did a feature interview with him a couple of years back when Back Sports Page was really first getting started. And one of the things that he told us was he was traded from Portland to Toronto. And he didn't want to play there because of the tax issues that was going on in Toronto with the American money.
Yeah.
So I never put those little things together. I just think they're making so much money, and that's it. But no, he's always very good. He's always very good with what with talking NBA with.
He's very entertaining. You know, you gotta love the passion he has. You know, so it was great to hear from him. You know, he's one of the better point guards from back in the what I like to call the golden era of basketball. Before David Stern mucked it all up by stopping defense.
I agree. here's something that you know, he said he feels that Boston, I think right now Boston's still learning how to play with each other. I know how it almost sounds like I'm making an excuse for them, but I think when you have the amount of turnover in a roster like they had, you're not just going to go start all over and be awesome and be great just because you have your five or six core guys and you're putting seven new players in. It takes time. You know, the Nets are still putting it together, and the Knicks have brought a majority of their guys back. So, you know, the Knicks do have a little bit of an advantage in that Atlantic division.
Yeah, although right now, though, like, the guys that are playing big time for them right now are basically, you know, guys that they didn't bring in. Although Felton was, you know, familiar with the team. He was familiar with most of those guys. You can already see that he has a nice rapport with Tyson Chandler. He's going to have that rapport again with Stoudemire. I am curious to see what Stoudemire is going to do because we all know where Shumpert's role is on this team, so that's a given. I don't worry about Shumpert. Stoudemire, to me, is the guy that has to really just see what's going on here and has to buy into it because, you know, let's be honest, he's not the number one guy on his team anymore, and, you know, we knew he wasn't the minute they brought in Carmelo. We knew that that's who was going to be the guy here. So now we just got to see if Stoudemire can just be a part of this team and not, you know, get into an issue where he's not going to do what everyone else is doing. Because everyone else here is playing defense. And to bring up what happened on, because we obviously didn't get to talk about it, but against San Antonio the other day, that was the first time in a long time I seen a team scared to shoot against the Knicks. When you saw the closing moments of that San Antonio game, you could see that Tim Duncan was scared. You could see that Tony Parker was scared. These guys are scared, and I've not seen that from an opponent of the Knicks in quite some time. So it was great to see.
Well, I think it's very interesting to see the effect Jason Kidd has a little bit farther down the road. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be the key. Not right now. Not nine games in, eight games in. Show me what's going to happen a little bit farther down the road. That's what's going to be the key. Some of the other things we were talking about, he really is very high on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he's not buying into the Lakers. I think the days where we have the big bad Lakers and everyone's scared of the Lakers, I think those days are over. I think we're officially done with that.
I'm not so sure yet.
Here's why I think that. Kobe is no spring chicken. Nash is no spring chicken. Dwight Howard is coming off a back injury with a back you just never know. And Paul Gasol is no spring chicken.
Yes, but again, it's still Kobe. It's still Paul Gasol. It's still Steve Nash. Even if they're not as talented as they used to be, because as we say, they're no spring chickens, they are still talented. Those guys are Hall of Fame or borderline Hall of Fame players. So they're still going to be a force to be reckoned with. I, you know, Kobe Nash is the only guy in the NBA right now who has the Michael Jordan gene of he wants it more than anyone else. So
yeah,
I think I
agree with you. I agree with that.
So I think that will be enough to get them, you know, to, you know, be one of the top teams in the West. I'm not saying they're going to win the title, I mean, because they got D'Antoni as their coach right now. As much as I do like D'Antoni, you know, the guy's never going to win a title with the system he runs. So, I mean, they'll always be good. They'll be competitive, you know, until Kobe leaves there, and then we'll have to see what happens. But, you know, I'm not selling them short just yet. I need to see it happen on a consistent basis.
The Oklahoma City Thunder has not looked like the defending Western Conference champions this so far in the beginning of the season. I'm wondering how the effect of losing James Harden was to this.
Was a big deal. I think that was a big deal. I think it was a bigger deal than we all made it out to be. I don't think we appreciated how valuable James Harden was to the Thunder.
Yeah, but was he worth getting that money, that type of money for a guy who, you know, does things that other players can do? Again, you paid Serge Ibaka the money. You made the conscious effort to pay Serge Ibaka the type of money which he did. And then you said, James Harden, we're not going to give you that type of money. Well, he said, well, I'm just going to go and go somewhere else. Now, don't get me wrong. If you look at the actual trade, the Oklahoma City Thunder got a better part of the deal. But as far as the short-term ramifications of the trade, the Oklahoma City Thunder are struggling right now. But no one's really knocking down the West, knocking no doors down in the West. The Spurs are going to be the Spurs. I don't think the Mavericks are going to be that good. The Rockets are going to be a lottery team again this season. So I don't, and then New Orleans is still growing. So there's a lot of teams out there who are going to be making you wonder what the order of the Western Conference is going to be. Jose, what if you had to take a shot right now and say what the top eight teams in the Western Conference are, what would you say?
Well, I'll tell you what. I won't give you them in order, but I'll give you the teams that will definitely make it. All right?
Okay.
So I'm looking at each conference right now. So I'll start with the Southwest. Memphis, San Antonio, Dallas. I should book those three. So that's three right there. In the Pacific, I'm going to go Clippers and Lakers right now. So that's five. Looking at the Northwest, Oklahoma would make six. I'm going to say, if I'm shooting down back a little further, I will, after that, it's going to be rough. I'm going to say, though, Golden State may finally get over the hump and move into a playoff spot. And I'm still going to stick with Minnesota. I know we talked about them earlier. I'm going to stick with Minnesota. Portland's the team to watch in there, Denver as well. But right now, those would be my eight, with Minnesota towards the back end, you know, Oklahoma towards the top. But those would be my eight teams right now. I can't tell you what order right now, as of right now, but those would be the eight teams I would take a look at. So Memphis, San Antonio, Dallas in the Southwest, Clippers, Golden State, Lakers in the Pacific, Oklahoma, Minnesota. And I think that rounds out the top eight.
Okay. I'm going to just hit on a couple things here that you didn't hit on, and that's fine. Denver, I think, is trying to gel a little bit. They had a little bit of a turnover this year. I really do think at this point, George Karl's time in Denver is coming to an end. And I'm only saying that right now because since he got there, you remember his first couple of years there, he had Carmelo Anthony, Kenyon Martin, they had that Western Conference final team. From that point on, from a couple of years ago, look at the turn that this team has gone. And I don't think George Karl can keep turning these younger guys into a playoff team. I think his time is coming soon to leave there. But I do think if he decides to work out the year, I don't think they're going to be a team that's 4-6, you know, in that 500 range. I think they can make it back in there out of the teams that are on the bottom right now. But as far as the teams that are going to make it, I think the Thunder are going to be there. I think the Clippers are going to be there. I think the Lakers are going to be there. The Grizzlies are going to be there. The Spurs are going to be there. I'm not sold on Dallas. They have a bunch of broken parts. It's a different type of team, they said. I'm not buying into it. Keep an eye on the Phoenix Suns. I really do like a lot of the guys they have there. They're still trying to gel too, a bunch of new players. Goran Dragic is back over there. They have Beasley. Jared Dudley, Gortat.
I'm just not a big fan of Beasley. I know he's playing well, but he's just one mistake away. But I want to see what Dallas does when Dirk comes back too. We should be fair. Dirk's still out, so I think we need to at least see them with Dirk back before we really start making any real judgments on them.
Okay, well, really quickly, here's the Phoenix Suns roster. And, it's funny, I'm making fun of people, and I'm sitting there saying broken, busted out spare parts. Here's their roster: Michael Beasley, Shannon Brown, Goran Dragic, Jared Dudley, Channing Frye, Dante Garrett, Marion Gortat, Wesley Johnson. You want to talk about a guy who's not lived up to any expectation level? It's been Wesley Johnson. Kendall Marshall, Marquise Norris, Jermaine O'Neal, Luis Scola, Sebastian Telfair, PJ Tucker, and Luke Zeller. That's a team of broken parts.
By the way, though, let me if I can circle back to the Wesley Johnson thing. If there was ever a guy who made money from basically playing one great year of college basketball,
it's him right now.
And I love Wesley Johnson. He was a good player for Syracuse, but man, he has not been the goods in the NBA so far.
Well,
the only other guy I can think of is Johnny Flynn. but yeah. he's more
well,
injury related.
Well, guys, yeah, guys are sitting there getting paychecks for not really doing much. Real quick, we just talked about the Dallas Mavericks. They still have, this is their roster. They have Brandon Wright, Dirk Nowitzki, Troy Murphy, O.J. Mayo, Sean Marion, Chris Kaman. This is a team of broken parts, extra parts. Dominic Jones, Dejounte Jones, Bernard James, Jared Cunningham, Joe Crowder, Darren Collison, Vince Carter, Elton Brand. Elton Brand, and Babinos, he's still there too. So that's and they're 6-5 without Dirk, and they have some injuries still. Again, I'm not buying into that team because it's from where they were 2 years ago to now. It's not obviously not anywhere near. You know, they'd be happy with the playoffs. You know, you brought up the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got Barrera, Dante Cunningham, Josh Howard just signed with them because they're so injury-filled. I actually like that pickup of Josh Howard for them. Andre Kirilenko, who sort of came out of nowhere. You know, they have Ricky Rubio, Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy is playing very well for them. You know, it's... They're going to be there. It's just they need to get healthy. Minnesota can be there. So, you know, those are the teams that Kenny was talking about. Now I see what you're saying. You know,
it's going to be rough for Minnesota, though, because they're going to, you know, again, they have some guys here that, like, one wrong move and, you know, they're going to be out, you know. So, you know, we're still waiting on Kevin Love, who I think we can both agree is one of the more underrated stars in the league. We both like Rubio. I'm happy that Brandon Roy, you know, is healthy and playing, so that's always a good thing. I like Chase Buttinger, too, on this team. But, again, this is a mismatch team right now. I mean, there's, you know, you don't know what you're going to get on a, you know, a consistent basis. I do like the fact, though, and I will say this, because they also have Malcolm Lee on this team. And if anything has proven out to be correct over the last few years, if you got a kid from UCLA, eventually they turn to be the good. So I would keep an eye on Malcolm Lee.
Isn't that right, Ed O'Bannon? I mean, sorry.
Ed O'Bannon just called. He's going to pimp slap you when he sees you next time.
Ed O'Bannon right now is busy with the litigation in a courtroom for the EA Sport lawsuit.
Well, so. You know, you got to make money somehow.
He has his own car dealership. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he has his own car dealership.
So what's he doing messing around with EA?
have you not been paying attention to the auto industry lately for the last couple of years?
I'm not going to say. I'm going to get
you. Really, really quick, update some NBA scores for you real quick. Philly over Cleveland, 79-73, 2 minutes and 32 seconds left in the fourth. The Brooklyn Nets are out in Sacramento right now, and they have an 84-74 lead over the Sacramento Kings. I don't know how much longer the Kings are going to be in Sacramento. They might be getting moved. They have to get that arena situation taken care of. The Oklahoma City Thunder are at the half with the Golden State Warriors, 59-46. And at the end of the first quarter, the Celtics have a 24-20 lead over the lowly Detroit Pistons. Earlier in the day, the New York Knicks defeated the Indiana Pacers, 88-76, and the Toronto Raptors beat up on the Orlando Magic, just like everybody else is in the league, 97-86. Late games tonight, Chicago's at Portland, and the Rockets are at the Lakers. Mike D'Antoni will be coaching later tonight. What's that?
Let me ask you a question right now. If you're Seattle, do you really want the Kings?
Well, here's the story. There's two teams interested in taking on the Kings. Seattle is one. And Anaheim is another.
So basically, they would be moving from Sacramento to Anaheim then.
Yeah, there's talk of that still happening. I also know there's the Seattle and Kansas City. They want to get a team in Kansas City.
Really?
I don't get it. The NBA, you know, it's funny. They keep on saying the NFL is the only league where small market teams really usually have success. The NBA has proved that there's some teams that have success in the small markets. You know, look at the Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's why.
Well, I understand that. So does the NFL. The NFL has salary cap too. Major League Baseball doesn't have a salary cap.
That's why the poor Pittsburgh Pirates can get above 500.
You and I can always we'll always agree to disagree. I want to talk about one other team in the NBA. And I haven't seen them this bad since the early 90s after Isaiah and Joe Dumars left. The Detroit Pistons, what a mess. What a mess. And I feel bad about attacking them because, you know, I like Lawrence. I like Lawrence Frank. He's, you know, I don't want to say friend is a strong word. I've had a very good professional relationship with Lawrence. But you look at this team, and you're just, they're awful. He's going to lose his job there. He's definitely going to lose his job. But if every coach that's been here since Larry Brown has had little to no success there. So, but looking at Will Bynum, Austin Day, Andre Drummond, Kim English, Brandon Knight, they have Corey Maggette, Jason Maxfield. Maxfield's still playing, which is shocking to me. They have Villanova, Rodney Stuckey, Kyle Singer, Tayshaun Prince, Greg Monroe. This team should be much better than their record. They're 1-9 right now. This team should be much better than their record.
I don't see it. See, the problem is they have a lot of young talent. I'm a big fan of Brandon Knight. I was not a big fan of the Andre Drummond drafting. I saw him play. Not a good player. Not the kind of player that you can put on your front line and have complete and utter confidence in. You had Greg Monroe there. You should have been building with Greg Monroe. Basically, you just got a backup for Greg Monroe, and I believe they wasted a first-round pick in doing it. And to me, that's a wasted pick. You know, listen, you also have Tayshaun Prince. I mean, he's been there, what, 50 years now? I mean, God.
Yeah,
he's
been there. He's been there since the 2002-2003 season.
This is a guy they should have moved to get pieces. Rodney Stuckey is their point guard, but he's not really a point guard. That's the problem.
He really is a
combo guard. He should be playing the shooting guard position, really.
Both him and Will Bynum.
Yeah,
I got what you're saying. And then the other part here of the other roster, I want to tell you, on the other side that surprises me, the Atlanta Hawks are 4-4. After,
and you surprised in a good way or in a bad way?
I'm surprised in a good way. No, I think it's one of the better stories because Danny Ferry got there, took the GM spot. The first thing he did was he got rid of Joe Johnson's awful contract, and he got rid of Marvin Williams' awful contract. If you look at their roster, they still shouldn't be that good, but they're 4-4 right now. They have Devin Harris, Al Horford, John Jenkins, Ivan Johnson, Kyle Korver, Anthony Morrow, Zaza Pachulio, Johan Petrov. They have half the Nets roster from last year. Mike Scott, Josh Smith, Deshaun Stevenson, Jeff Teague, Anthony Tolliver, and Louis Williams. Okay. Again, this team, you know, you lose the points that you lose from Joe Johnson, you're getting back from Devin Harris, Kyle Korver, and Morrow. So I'm okay with that. But by doing the moves that you did, you're basically saying Al Horford and Josh Smith carry our team. Josh Smith has already told the Hawks, don't try to make me any offers. I'm going to test free agency when I leave here, which is basically what they're saying is, I'm not going to let the door hit my ass on the way out. That's basically what he just said to the team.
Yeah.
So, but if this
can
team comes out to make the playoffs.
Like, is he a tradable guy, or has he got one of those kinds where you can't trade him?
Let me ask you a question. Who wants to take on a $13 million contract for 1 year?
There's always somebody. Hey, someone took Joe Johnson, so...
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the things too. By the way, Kenny really was on the Clippers bandwagon. Looking at their roster, I understand why he is. If you really, really look at it, they added Matt Barnes, as you know from watching LA and Orlando over the years, he's a solid defender. He can play. They still have Chauncey Billups, Eric Bledsoe, Caron Butler, Jamal Crawford, Willie Green, Blake Griffin, Grant Hill, Ryan Hollins, DeAndre Jordan, Lamar Odom, Chris Paul, Trey Tompkins and Ronny Turiaf. It's a very veteran. They have a nice mix. They really do have a nice mix.
Here's the problem I have with this team, though, and this is what's going to kill them. They can't hit free throws.
No. I watched their game the other night, and they really struggled from the free throw line.
And I wanted to bring up something because Chauncey Billups is on this team. You know, I think the worst mistake that Carl did when they made this trade for Melo was including Billups. And I don't know if it was one of those things where they had to include Billups in that deal.
Yeah. It was more of a salary issue for that.
Because I tell you right now, I'm sure if they had to do that over again, if they didn't have to include Billups or Felton in that deal and it would have just been everyone else involved, I think things would be a lot better, would have been a lot better for the Nuggets at this point, and I think things would have been better for the Knicks at that point too.
You know, it's funny too, and we're talking about the, you know, we were talking about the Lakers and the Clippers. You know, I look back now at the Lakers roster, they don't have anything there that really impresses me. Steve Blake, Kobe Bryant, Earl Clark, Chris Duhon, Devin Banks, Pau Gasol, Jordan Hill, Dwight Howard, Antoine Jameson, Darius Jones-Odom, Jody Meeks, Darius Moore, Steve Nash, Meta World Peace. This team is destined to fail. I think the Lakers might get past the first round, but that's it. I don't see this as being a very dangerous team. And one team that we didn't even talk about, I don't think we've really talked about them. They're 5-4 in the Central, and that's Chicago. Now, Jose, am I the only one who's sitting there not going to give Chicago the credit that they really deserve this year because of the guys they sort of got rid of and was not having Derrick Rose? Like, I sort of wrote them off. I'm not lying, but they shrunk their roster down, and they have a bunch of guys who can play. I'm looking at their salary situation. It's a disaster. But you're giving Luol Deng 13, and you're giving Derrick Rose 16, and you're giving Boozer 15.
You haven't even got all the way down to Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah is making 11. So you have four or five guys who are sitting there making a boatload of money. Can this team without Derrick Rose stay afloat and possibly make some noise in the playoffs?
Again, you know, this is a team that's based off on defense. Thibodeau's got this team rolling with a defensive purpose. And when you got a defensive purpose going on, you know, everything else can come and go. But defense never leaves as long as you play your hardest and, you know, you stick to the program. So this is a team I think that can do something in the regular season. But again, we got to see how Derrick Rose is when he comes back. I mean, they won't make any real run, you know, without Derrick Rose. We saw that last year; they couldn't even make it out the first round.
That's true. All right, let's have some more fun. I'm not done with you yet. Maybe about 15 or
something.
Watch your mouth.
I was just talking about pimp slapping you.
Yeah, you kiss your wife with that mouth.
Actually, yes, I do.
Okay. Just verifying. Okay, so we've been doing this whole sports rule thing. Last week, I had Patrick Creighton and Sarah Gordon guest hosted the show with us last week, and we discussed, you know, people cheering, you know, when your team is eliminated, are you allowed to really trash talk about, you know, either a rival or an other team? And my verdict was no. I think if your team is eliminated from the playoffs or your team doesn't make the playoffs, you lost your right to say anything. So are we in agreement on that or disagreement on that?
I think we're in agreement on that.
Okay. Week one was you're not allowed to give the playbook. You're not allowed to give play-by-play on Facebook. If you do that, you're just an idiot and a fraud, and I don't want anything to do with you at that point.
Yeah.
This week, you know, you and I discussed it very briefly. So this would be very interesting to see if my stupidity holds up with your stupidity and equals intelligence. That's the part of Einstein's theory of relativity, which nobody really picked up on. Your stupidity plus my stupidity equals someone very smart.
It's happened before, so it'll happen again.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm with you on that. So this week's sports rule book, sports tip number 3, Jose, I'll let you go with it.
All right. We talked about this briefly, as Randy said, but I brought it up, and I think he went along with it. You can't root for two different teams in the same sport, in any sport. You're cheering for the Mets. You're not a Yankee fan. I don't want to hear it. You're a fraud if you do. And it's just, to me, it's almost like just putting all your ducks in a row. You're trying to cover for one failure. So if one team fails, at least you got the other one. No, it doesn't work that way. You root for one team in every sport, that's that. If I ever started rooting for the Brooklyn Nets, I would want Randy to hit me with one of the chairs over there because that's just be disgraceful. It ain't going to happen on my time, son. I'll tell you that much right now.
Oh, well, I hope not. Not for nothing. We don't want you. With that being said, no, and I agree with you. I have friends who, you know, I have friends who sometimes root for two different teams, or those people who say we're a New York fan, so we'll root for both New York teams. I don't buy it. Don't get me wrong. You've seen me over the last couple of years go from really hating the Celtics to liking their team. I'm not a Celtics fan, but as a guy who covers the NBA, a guy who follows a lot of NBA basketball, I have a lot of respect for them, and I will pull for them if need be, because I like the makeup of their team. You don't have to be a fan of the team to say you like the makeup of their team.
The only time I root for another team is if it serves my benefits to my team only. Otherwise, you ain't getting crap from me.
I'm not a Cleveland Brown fan by any means, but I'm sitting there going, yeah, come on, beat the Cowboys. Yeah. Okay, I really didn't make that sound because I was hanging out with people while we were watching that game. But you know where I'm going.
I'm sure you did make that sound, though.
I'm not gonna lie, I did. I'm not going to sit there and deny. I even did a collective. Come on, you're better than that. You're Cleveland. Okay, actually, you're not. And I felt bad because right now there's Cleveland Brown fans. By the way, did you see that thing on the NFL Network about the Cleveland Browns last season?
Yes, I did. I did watch that. I watched that with them, actually.
I forgot how crazy that whole situation was. The fact that they were taking the benches and throwing them on the field. It's like, that was crazy stuff.
You know what? I was surprised at, and this is to me, this is the most shocking thing. How deep was that coaching staff?
Yeah, we all said the same thing. Tannenbaum, Belichick, Mangini. There was just so many of those guys.
Nick Saban, Thomas Dimitrov, Scott Pioli. I mean, I could not believe that that all sprung from that Cleveland Brown coaching staff. And let's be honest, it's not like they were that good. I mean, that was the year everyone thought that they were going to make a big run to the Super Bowl, and we all saw how that ended in disaster. Which, look, I'm not going to say that I know how they feel because of the situation that's going on, but it's not like they were closing the team down. They were just moving from one state to another. I mean, did you really have to give up on the season because of that?
Yeah, well, I think it was more than that. I think there was a lot of other things going on. Like you said, the team just probably wasn't that good.
Everyone thought they were going to make a Super Bowl run, though. I mean, it's like, really? This is the team that's supposed to make a Super Bowl run? You got to be kidding me.
By the way, if you're tuning into the NFL and NBC, and they're doing that, you know, that's the Sunday Night Football theme song. The worst part is they actually have a Jet on there. And I'm attacking the Jets because the organization, just to recap the beginning of the show, the Jets sort of made me sick this week with the whole situation that happened with the 12 anonymous players and people in the organization ripping Tim Tebow apart, saying he's an awful player and he's part of the reason why the season has gone to hell. I don't agree with you, with you or the Jets fans, on any, not as much as you, but I'm talking more to the organization right now. I don't agree with this whatsoever.
I just feel that while it's wrong to put any blame on someone who's had no bearing on the games, I don't particularly care one way or the other about how this all came out. What I'm more annoyed at, me personally, is just that this was even made into a story. Because really, that's what we're concerned with, what people think about Tebow. And to me, that's a bigger indictment than anything else that had to do with this story.
No, I agree with that, too. Again, I'm not going to tell you that the media didn't have anything to do with this, because obviously if the media could find a little – if you give the media an inch, you're going to take a yard. It's pretty much the lay of the land and the way things work. And we shouldn't be surprised by this whatsoever. So, again, Stephen A. Smith, I know you're not a huge fan of Stephen A. I like listening to him. I think at times he brings up some good points, and if he doesn't bring up a good point, it's great comedy. If anything. So
nice.
I listen to him. If you have the opportunity, go to 98.7 ESPNNewYork.com. Listen to his podcast on the 14th on his rant on what happened with the Jets, and he was 100% on the money on how it's a disgrace, on how the organization from top to bottom is a disaster area, and Jets fans should burn their green and go out and get blue. That's my opinion. Not that Eli is burning down the house right now, but you know what I mean.
Well,
look,
let me ask you a question on something. You tell me what you think.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of times when we hear like all these bad things about teams, you know, it's almost like people are like not really attacking the team themselves, but it almost sounds like they're attacking the fan of the team. Like, how can you be a fan of this team? And I think that's why people get so defensive to begin with, because I think they feel that you're not attacking the team, you're attacking them, because you're saying, oh my God, how can you root for this team? Do you ever see that? Because sometimes I think I can see when people get so obsessed and, you know, just so outrageously upset when anyone says something bad about their team, because it almost feels like they're not attacking them. They're not attacking the team. They're attacking them personally.
Well, and it's funny too, because I remember back in the day I was very defensive about the Nets, and I think more than anybody has been very impressed with on how I have sort of taken a 180 where I usually call out things now that I think are shenanigans, where if, for example, if this team is bad, there's no excuses, and you're saying, well, they're a growing team. No, they're bad. You know, like with Sarah Gordon, who's been co-hosting with us over the last few weeks on and off, she's a very big Cowboy fan. I'm sitting there telling her, Cowboys stink. The Cowboys are not a good team. She'll fight me to the death for a good 10 minutes, and then when they're down 22-0 and not coming back, she's like, well, yeah, you know what, they stink. You know?
I think it's one thing to disparage your own team. But when you hear someone else disparage it, even if it's for the exact same reason you're getting mad, you don't want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Of course not. Why would you? All right, listen, I agree with you 110% on that. Listen, we're against the clock. We're down to the last 4 minutes. You're going to have 2 minutes with the floor to yourself, my friend, so go free to take it for sound off.
Oh, man. You know what? It's been a crazy few weeks, you know, with everything going on with Sandy, you know, with, you know, Giants not playing well, with the Knicks coming out of nowhere and actually having a really good stretch of the season. What I'm going to go off though about is college football, because we don't talk about it nearly enough. And one of the things I'm surprised at is the craziness that is now going on in college football landscape. If you don't know, Notre Dame survived the triple gauntlet yesterday of being the only top three team to go unscathed, while both Oregon and Kansas State went down. Big thing that's going to come up of this now is if Notre Dame can go undefeated, they will go to the national championship game. If they lose, they're done. And we're talking about upwards between $1 million to $4 million at play here. So I don't really know what else to say other than I'm going to be very quiet for the next couple of weeks because my wife's a big Notre Dame fan, and I just don't want to get in her bad side. So let's just see what happens. If you haven't been watching college football, do watch it, because you also might see something very sweet this year at the end of the year when they hand out the Heisman. You might see the first ever freshman win the award when Johnny Football Manziel takes it. Possibly. I'm not going to make my pick yet, but just keep an eye out on that. Texas A&M. And other than that, we're going to take it easy. Nice quiet week. So, Randy, the floor is all yours.
The magical part of this week has always been Thanksgiving and football. Football on Thanksgiving. What I have not always been a fan of are the selection of games that they usually give us on Thanksgiving. It's always the Dallas Cowboys, and it's always the Detroit Lions. I don't know how these two teams win the lottery, but it seems to be a Thanksgiving tradition that these two teams are the ones that are on Thanksgiving. I think what they should be doing is sort of start rotating it around, let other teams in the league be able to start hosting home games on the Thanksgiving holiday, let everybody else enjoy it, because if you watch the crowd in both Detroit and in Dallas, it seems like it's just one big party, and it's a party that I definitely want to get in on. I'm not going to lie. And telling me that I can go to an NFL Network game at 8:20 on Thanksgiving for the Jets and the New England Patriots, where the Patriots are going to come over there, and to quote our good friend over at ProFootballMock.com during his Facebook rant, for Mark Sanchez to be Tom Brady's arch rival is an absolute joke. I think they should really change it up, even though still the best part of my Thanksgiving meal after the turkey is watching football. Jose, we're actually getting out of here on time this week. Excellent show. I'd like to thank Mr. Kenny Anderson for joining us. Follow us on Facebook. Right now, I have 5-1. You are. I'm sorry. I have 5-0. You're 4-1. Seattle,
with
Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So if this holds up, I will have a 5-game lead on you. Keep it going, baby. Keep it going.
Onions. That's what I say to you. Onions.
Jose, happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you next week.
You too, man. Take it deep.